This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Tuesday, and it's going to be a huge Tuesday tonight. We're going to discuss the naivete of a portion of the right, not you, but it, you know, people like this. We'll discuss that. Democrats running cover for Mike Johnson. New York Attorney General Letitia James is on the attack, and I admire it. I will explain what I mean by that. We have, well, problems on university campuses in the country, promises for Democrats, a very cold administration, all that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But I actually want to begin here with a story that you probably haven't heard about today. Unless you read the post-millennial. The story's out there, but the post-millennial's the one who ran the headline. But I realize it's not on everyone's tongue. What's everyone talking about today? The protests, still protests. Did you see what's happening at Columbia? Did you? I know that's all anyone can talk about right now. But not here. Well, I'll get to that in a little bit, but not here. I saw this headline, and it bummed me out. The headline was this: conservative Christian family shocked to find a trans woman playing the evil queen after paying $300 for dinner with Disney characters. All right? So what happened there? Well, at Walt Disney World, in fact, we took the kids to Disney World, I think 10 years ago. It was bad, but it was before it got really, really bad. We took the kids down there, and I remember they had a breakfast you could sign up for. You could go, the kids could go sit down, and you'd have people running around in Mickey and Minnie costumes and all that crap. You know how it is. Okay, so conservative Christian family shows up. And they think it's going to be some evil queen, and you would think it would be a woman, but no, it's some tranny dude just helicoptering his way around the dinner. Okay. And they're shocked about it. Pause on that for a moment. Let's pause on that. I would say 3 or 4 years ago, a guy I know. I was lightly acquainted with him, He was a pastor. He was a pastor at a church. It was a big church down here. He knew a guy who I knew, and it was actually, he wanted to talk about some kind of business thing related. It doesn't matter what it is. But he said, hey, you want to go out? Hey, let's have a cup of coffee, talk about this business thing. Yeah, sure, that's fine. And he's a pastor, right? He's a pastor. We go out, and I sit down with this pastor, and he was the pastor of, I didn't go to it, but it was a big church. There were a lot of people there. I think a couple thousand people. It was a big church. It's big people. And this is a guy who had his doctorate, you know, just doctor this. This was a man in his 50s, late 50s. So well read. This dude reads books. This dude is highly educated, extremely eloquent, good at speaking in front of people, outstanding values. And we got the conversation got political as we were sitting there. And this man was sitting in front of me, and again, we were there to talk business, and he knew a lot about that too. So I'm sitting in front of this guy in 50s. And that's when you're really starting to get wise. I'm years away from that, obviously. Accomplished in his career of being a pastor, successful at that, wonderful man, well thought of in the community. And when the subject turned to politics, we were actually discussing a border issue at the time. It was like I went from talking to an adult man who was wiser than me, provided guidance. We were discussing issues. It was like I went from talking to that guy to speaking to a child who lived alone in the wilderness his entire life. He knew everything about everything, if you wanted to know about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Old Testament, Chris. He knew all kinds of things about business, depreciation, interest rates, quarterly. I mean, he knew so much, 50-some years on this planet. And as soon as we got political, and it went deeper from there, we kept going. He was like an innocent little baby who had never heard of politics before. I look at a headline like this, and it makes my jaw drop how disengaged so many people are. And I'm not going to call them out by name because they don't deserve that or anything like that. If you're a, quote, conservative Christian family, and you're taking your child to Disney World, and you're shocked that Trina the Tranny is coming out playing Ariel, the redhead from Little Mermaid. If that shocks you, you're stunned by that. What are you doing? What are you paying attention to? Why are you disengaged? Why don't you know? I will tell you, I left that meeting with that pastor, and it's not that I didn't have immense respect for him still. It's not that I didn't want to do some business stuff with him, and it's not any of that. And it's not that I wouldn't have attended his church. I would have attended his church. It's not that. But I'll be honest with you. My view of him from that point on, it was lower. A little of that shine was off. Because I remember thinking then the exact way I think now. Forget your age. Forget your leadership role as a pastor or a manager or a dad or a husband or a father or whatever it may be. As an American citizen, as a human being, and as someone who cares about children, family, community, culture, how do you not know what's going on? You never read anything? I mean, today, information, if you want it, is available everywhere. You can turn into a political expert in this country while driving a truck. I'm talking semis. How many truckers are listening right now nodding their head as I just said that too? You could become, because of the wealth of information available in the palm of your hand, podcasts, radio. My goodness, when you get where you're going, you can sit and stream information on your iPad in the parking lot. Endless options. Read books on tape. Chris can't even read, and he consumes books. information is just dying to be pumped into your eyes and ears and your brain now. And we have all these good people who don't have a daggone clue what is going on. And it blows me away. And it's killing us. Honestly, that's what's killing us. The good people, because they're good people, they don't want to get involved in the icky business, in the divisive business, the anger-causing business of communists, of politics, of Republicans, of Democrats. Because politics is an ugly business, always has been, always will be, good people in this country, in an effort to stay, quote, good, or however you want to classify that, have divorced themselves from the process. And as a result, it's made the politics of this country 10 times dirtier than it would have otherwise been. We need the good people to engage. We need them involved. We need them, in the very least, knowledgeable about what's going on in this culture, in our government, in our federal government, state government, local governments. We need good people to care enough to spend 10 minutes a day. Who doesn't have 10 minutes a day? You're in a car, you're on a treadmill, you're whatever you're doing, you're waiting for the kids to finish soccer practice with some earbuds in your ear. How in the name of everything holy is it possible for an entire, quote, conservative Christian family to be stunned that you ran into a tranny at Disney World? And I'm doing the best I can to be merciful right now. I am. But man, at some point in time, if you don't know, that's on you, man. If you don't know, it's intentional at this point in time. You're a 50-some-year-old pastor, and you don't know anything about politics? You're a conservative Christian family, and you don't know that Disney is rancid filth?
Why are you gay?
Why? All right. Enough. I'm about to shock you. And maybe that did it. I'm about to praise Letitia James. New York's dirtball communist AG, Letitia James, is about to get a big old salute from me. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show and you should email the show. Love, hate, death threats, whatever you want. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Yes, I'm going to get to the latest and greatest on the protests and the hostage situation and all this stuff here in just a few. I just want to point something else out. We've been talking a lot about the ratchet, right? The cultural ratchet. Why we've never seen the pendulum. As much as we love to lie to ourselves about that, that, oh man, they've gone too far this time, guys. It's getting ready to swing back to the right. Whoa, it's going to swing to the right hard. Yet it's never really swung to the right. Oh, they've lost an election here or there, but culturally it's only gone left. Why is it a ratchet and not a pendulum? Why is that? Well, one of the reasons is they use power. They use power and they don't lick their finger and stick it in the air and see which way the wind is blowing, because they understand naked aggression accomplishes a lot. There's a wonderful saying. One of my favorite quotes of all time is this. You ever heard this quote? This is a patent quote. He might have stolen it from somebody. I don't care if he did. I say it's a patent quote, but it's a great quote. And here's the quote. A good plan violently executed now is better than a perfect plan tomorrow. A good plan violently executed now is better than a perfect plan tomorrow. What's he mean by that? How's this apply to politics? I'll explain in a moment. Before I get to that, I almost forgot to tell you, Amber Smith joins us in like 10 minutes from now. She is a wealth of knowledge about what's going on in the military. So we're going to grab a hold of her and get some of that knowledge in about 10 minutes from now. But let's go back to it. The communist understands that he just has to march forward at all times. And in the end, even if he ends up being stopped at some point, if he ends up being slowed down significantly, in the end, if he just keeps his head down and keeps destroying and keeps destroying and keeps moving forward, that in the end, he will be in a better position than he was when he started. He does not do what the Republican Party does. You want an outstanding example of this? One you'll probably hate and yet completely true. Remember, we were ranting and raving recently about the GOP and their new stance on abortion. Roe versus Wade got overturned. I'm glad it's going back to the states. That's fine. It's a state's issue. And then Arizona, their Supreme Court comes out and says, okay, it's banned here. And then immediately the GOP, oh my gosh, we're going to lose elections. What if we lose elections? And you got Carrie Lake out there. Well, they need to address this. We got to get more abortions. And Trump jumps in there too. Yeah, we need more abortions. This is crazy. Just panicking. The culture, the elections. What if we lose, guys? You know what they do? Here's a headline for you. I just so respect this. And I would kill for these people on our side. Headline. New York Attorney General Letitia James is trying to shut down every pro-life pregnancy center in New York State. Letitia James, she didn't take her position as New York AG, sit her tubby butt down in the chair and take a big old lick of that fat finger of hers and stick it up in the air to see which way the wind's blowing on life, pro-life. I'm not really sure. Have we poll tested it, guys? I don't want to make these people uncomfortable. What do we do here? Letitia James doesn't have time for that because Letitia James is too busy worrying about winning. She wants to win. So Letitia James is going to spend every waking moment she sits in that office marching forward with her demonic plans. And she's going to chew up and spit out every good thing that gets put in front of her face. And that's the things she doesn't swallow. And that's a lot of things. And she's just going to keep going and going and going and going because Letitia James wants to win. And Letitia James understands real power. Not poll-tested power. Nah, well, I don't know. Have we checked with women between the ages of 22 to 26? If we focus on the top marginal rates, I don't know. I don't want to lose to half a... You never see it. You never see it from them. You know what's not popular with anybody? Dudes beating up women in sports. Nobody thinks that's popular. Nobody thinks that's good. You look out on the female rugby course or the field, I'm sorry, and you have some dude out there knocking women's teeth out. Every American looks at that and he's disgusted and he knows it's wrong. Men, women, children, they look at it and they know it's wrong and they're gross. And yet 100% of the Democrats in this country will push forward with that policy. Why? Because they want to win. And they understand what it takes to win. They find an issue, and no matter what the polls say, the popularity numbers say with this group, or what about, is this popular with Hispanics? Have we poll tested liberal white women here? I don't know. None of this mealy mouth, lame, spineless crap. They find out what they believe is right, and it's full steam ahead. Where are mine? Where are my fighters like that? This is what we got here.
We desperately need, the country needs clear moral authority.
Mike Johnson. That's what we got. Pathetic. This is why I joke about giving them all male vitality stacks from Chalk. They seriously need them. They do. They need them badly. because there is a testosterone crisis on the right. Forget about the dirty commies. We don't want them reproducing anyway. The right is so scared. Scared of its own shadow. Scared of saying unpopular. What about this election? What about Congress? Well, why don't you find some testosterone, dork, and lead? We need you leading. Get a male vitality stack from Chalk coursing through your veins, politicians. All of you. Natural herbal supplements. I know you're all in love with Big Pharma. Me personally, I don't care for Big Pharma, so I try to go natural. That's why I go with Chalk. I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every day. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. All right, before we get to the Columbia protests and stuff, let's deal with Amber Smith. What's happening in the military? How bad is it? Hang on.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yes, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Amber picked that song, Chris? Fleetwood Mac? Figures. She's a pilot. Pilots are generally have good taste in music. I don't know why that is. Anyway, joining me now, veteran author of the new book, Unfit to Fight, Amber Smith. Amber, pilots in general are a cocky bunch, as you probably know, but they do have good taste in music. Why is that?
I mean, we have to do something to pass the time of, like, hours and hours in the cockpit.
I guess apparently that's it. You know what? Let's actually begin there on hours and hours in the cockpit, because one of the things I hear consistently from people who are in the know now is that our pilots across the board do not have the time in the cockpit they used to have. For some reason, we have this huge military, Amber, and all this money and all this budget, but there's not enough fuel. There's not enough hours in the day. What's happening?
Yeah, I've been seeing the same reports that the flight hour budget is sort of getting sacrificed for other priorities. And, you know, my flight hours came from a time when we were heavy into the post 9/11 wars. And so we did get plenty of flight time. But even back when I was flying, you know, our flight hour minimums in terms of how many hours you had to fly to stay current back here in the States in like a 6 month period was extremely low. If you were flying those numbers, it was, yeah, maybe you could still pick the helicopter up and fly, but you were not at like an expert level. And when it comes to flying, especially where you have like multi-systems with weapon systems, navigation, you know, you're listening to five radios at once, it is something that you need very consistent and a lot of flight hours, which cost money, in order to be the best at your job. And yeah, we've seen the modern military taking some of those flight hours away, and we're seeing an uptick in accidents. We're seeing the morale in the aviation branches just being at an absolute low, people walking away from commands and people wanting to get out because they're saying it's not worth it. And to the point where they're saying it is not safe.
Amber, can you speak to the accidents? And we'll get to this. We have so much we have to get to about the military, but it's one of the things we do consistently on the show. When people die in training, we try to read their names, play taps for them at the beginning of the show. And gosh, Amber, it's happening a lot anymore. It feels like it's increasing. Why?
I think it's exactly what we hit on, is those flight hours. The flight hours that they normally see they're not being prioritized anymore. And just like I said, flying is a perishable skill. I say the same thing about shooting. Like in my helicopter, we had a 50 cal machine gun and rocket pods. And, you know, the more you shoot, the better you get. And so I think the military does need to wake up to the fact of like, how many more pilots, soldiers have to die before they seem to get it. There have been 10 people have been killed since October in 12 Class A accidents. And Class A means that it was more than $2.5 million or a fatality. And so it's like they are quick to blame the symptom of the problem, throw the pilot skills under the bus. But the reality is they're not getting the training they need, the hours that is absolutely necessary. So as a result, we're seeing these crashes.
Amber, can you explain it to the American who doesn't understand the inner workings of the military? How do you have a budget this size and yet the guys on the ground, I mean, I know plenty of guys, they don't have the weapons they need. We don't have the artillery rounds. The 155s are disappearing. We already talked about the flight hours. So if the budget's this big, where, oh, where, Amber, is the money going?
So if the Department of Defense was a private, you know, civilian public sector or private sector business, it would be out of business. The fiscal mismanage there is grotesque. They have never, like absolutely never, been able to pass an audit. So you go think at the commander level, they have to do their inventory inspections. If you have something that's missing, it is like a catastrophic event for that commander. But you go up to the top level of the Department of Defense, they can't account for billions of dollars. Like, where is that money going? And then when they get audited and they can't pass, Washington, D.C. does what Washington, D.C. does, which is look the other way. And they're like, okay, just another year. We get to add one more year to that audit that's never been passed. But there is no accountability and no consequences. And sadly, as with everything that comes with poor leadership and playing politics with the Pentagon, it is the lower level soldier that pays the consequences because of it. And just like we're seeing in aviation right now, they're no longer it's no longer safe for them to fly because it is the conditions that they are pushed into without having the experience level that they need and getting those hours on a monthly level is causing these accidents.
Speaking with Amber Smith, veteran, she has a new book out called Unfit to Fight. You might want to pick up if you want an inside look on what's going on in the military. And actually, let's nail down on something before we get to leadership and accountability and things like that, although these issues are connected. Retention. Obviously, recruiting numbers get all kinds of headlines today, and it is a big deal. But, Amber, we're not retaining people with wealth of knowledge rattling around in their head. We're losing them, and we're losing them quickly. I know several.
Yeah, I say the retention crisis is quieter, but it is absolutely worse than the recruitment crisis. Yep. And it's because it is going to be ongoing. They're not just going to be able to throw money at the problem. And why are they getting out? Because they are getting an inside look into the reality of what the Department of Defense and the military has become. And it's ugly, and it is a shift away from mission priorities to chasing, you know, social sort of popularity to a very small demographic. And they are losing some battle-tested, patriotic Americans because of it. We saw it with the COVID mandate purge. They did it. It was self-inflicted with the Afghanistan evacuation in terms of losing the Afghanistan veteran demographic in terms of being pro-military, encouraging people to serve. The Department of Defense has for decades now relied on the veteran demographic being a sort of organic recruiter. And it's become a family business where if you had like a parent or grandparent serve, you were much more likely to serve. And veterans often promoted service to their kids. That's not happening. For every single dozens of active duty and recently retired or ETS left the military recently in the last few years, of every single person that I interviewed for this book, the last question that I asked was, would you recommend military service to your kids or someone you know in your influence, your community? Not one person said yes. In fact, they immediately said no. One said they would consider the Air National Guard, but not even in its current state. So that is absolutely like the effects of that we will see, and it will be disastrous for our military moving forward and the all-volunteer force that everyone's gotten used to.
Speaking with Amber Smith, Amber, I haven't even had a chance to get to the leadership stuff, and we're kind of running up against a break here. Do you, by chance, that I should have asked you off the air, do you have time for another segment, 10 minutes, so we can go over some of the leadership and accountability and where we've fallen short there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Speaking with Amber Smith, veteran, her book is Unfit to Fight. You need to go pick up that book. It really is important to understand what the problems are, because those problems are going to come to the forefront whenever things get a little spicy out there. The average person doesn't see it now. You will see it, though. You know what else you're going to see? Saw it today. $1.5 trillion farm bill going to start making its way through Congress. Trillion with a T. These people really are not slowing down. They hear things like this and they don't give a crap.
Claire Murray has been renting for almost a decade. The 30-year-old pharmaceutical researcher says she can afford to buy a home, but isn't sure it's the right investment for her.
I have seen the economy change. I have seen the house market really balloon up in a way that kind of...
Please tell me you're taking steps to protect yourself from these people. Buy some tangible things you can hold in your hands that have value. Nothing lasts like precious metals. You don't have to take my word for it. Go open up a history book. Nothing will last like that. It's not subject to the whims of Chuck Schumer or Mitch McConnell. Call Oxford Gold Group, 833-995-GOLD, and let them take care of you, okay? All right, we'll be back with Amber Smith. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, speaking with veteran author Amber Smith. She wrote the book Unfit to Fight about just how bad it is in the military. And that leads me to military leadership. Now, Amber, full disclosure, I was just a stupid, very average 4-year grunt, and I did not care for officers, present company excluded. But what I've seen from the Flag Officer Corps, both in my time in and now when I've gotten out, has only reinforced that belief. I'm mortified by the high-ranking officers in the United States military.
Well, I will clarify that I was a warrant officer, first of all. And then, second of all, yes, the officers that we see today have evolved from World War II, where they had to prove themselves on the battlefield, actually win in combat, or they got fired. And that was common standard practice. If you fast forward to Vietnam, that's when things started to change at the Pentagon, where they didn't like that black eye that they viewed is what they were perceived as when they fired a general for lack of performance, for their inability to conduct their job. And they circled the wagons. And now, you know, decades later, that culture rot has only gotten worse. And today it is extremely rare to see a general get fired for performance. They may get fired for personal conduct, but they do not get fired for doing a bad job at being a leader that our lower troops rely on. They're yes men. That's how you fail up in the military today, is you become a yes man at the rank of, you know, 06 and above. You are a politician, and that's a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow. But that is what happens. They learn you're going to sink or swim. And if you stand on principle and, you know, do what is right in terms of following the Constitution, what's right for the military and those who are your subordinates below you, and not, you know, chasing these politicians' agendas, you know, you get silenced, you don't get promoted. If you nod your head yes a lot and toe the line, you find yourself moving up. And that's, you know, what we're seeing in the senior officer corps today.
Amber, how much do the academies have to do with this stuff? Not that I was ever welcome on any of those campuses. I never had the grades, but the academies are important. It's important to have outstanding military academies. And the things I hear out of all of them now are, it's bad. It's really bad. And that's where so much of the senior leadership comes from.
Well, that's what when I often talk about how do we fix this. It's going to be extremely hard because the military academies have been infiltrated. And those are our future military leaders. So they get 4 years of, you know, critical race theory that pushes the agenda that somehow America is an oppressor and has all of these problems that these, you know, young adults who are tasked with defending our nation and leading troops in combat are saying, wait, why am I serving my country? What am I doing? And putting that sort of doubt in their heads, where they focus on uniqueness and individuality and really taking away from the teamwork and the cohesion that's absolutely necessary for trust between that commander and subordinate relationship. And so you start from the top, one of the worst, you know, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff that America has ever seen, General Mark Milley, testifying on Capitol Hill about white rage and how he thinks that critical race theory should be taught at the academies because he's white and he wants to learn about what white rage is. And then, you know, you have the Secretary of Defense say, like, full deniability, saying he doesn't even know what any of this is and it's not taught at the service academies, when it doesn't take that much investigative work to find out that they have classes on whiteness. So it's just the fact that these woke policies and this woke agenda has infiltrated the service academies is going to have lasting effects, you know, throughout this military generation that we're seeing in terms of how they are going to lead the military moving forward. And it has very negative effects.
Amber, if we were to, as we wrap this up here, if we were to get a president who wanted it fixed, and he started to dig into these problems, and you lay a lot of this stuff out in your book, How long until we can have it fixed? That's what I'm worried, how deep the rot has gone, if I can explain my question in a little bit of a better fashion. I'm worried that it's so rotted that we're facing 50 years of fixing it. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong. I think it's in for the long haul. I think it's not going to be something that's going to be reversed, you know, with a new president. He'll be able to, like, you know, rip up the executive orders that are in pushing some of the woke policies. But in terms of the culture, that's what's going to take forever to change. But I mean, they have to start somewhere, and that starts with leadership pushing the military to get back to a meritocracy. With all of this DEI push that they've had, it's taken away from the meritocracy, and it has to, if we want good Americans to serve in the military, they have to get back to the best person for the best, for the job gets selected, not because of characteristics that someone is born with, or, you know, a president wanting a military that looks more like America. That's not going to work. That's going to lead to failure time and time again. The other thing is accountability. As we've talked about, there is none in the modern day military. There is at the lower ranks. The lower ranks will still be held accountable, but it is a two-tier justice system. There are double standards running rampant up at the top, where, you know, look at Secretary Austin going AWOL for a week, not telling his deputy, and he went under the knife. He had surgery. Who was running the Department of Defense while he was incapacitated? And the answer is no one. He was not held accountable. If a private did that, he would face UCMJ action, which come with legal consequences. So soldiers see that, and they see exactly how they're getting treated to one set of standards and leadership is treated to another. So accountability has to make a comeback in the military if we want to see any changes as well, along with the meritocracy.
She is Amber Smith. Her book on Fit to Fight is available everywhere you track down books. Amber, thank you so much. I appreciate you. As always, I'm sure we will talk again soon. All right. Now, there were some speeches given today. Mike Johnson gave a speech. Oklahoma's governor, Kevin Stitt, gave a speech. And these speeches were about hate speech and college campuses and Columbia and the anti-Semitism that's going on. And look, none of this is good for America. None of it is. And I mean, none of it is. What's happening on the campuses is bad. The GOP's response, surprise, surprise, is equally as detestable, and we will discuss all of it and the ratchet of the cultural shift next.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.